Coming up on KUCB News, COVID-19 infections spike in Sandpoint, and the $1 trillion federal infrastructure bill could bring relief to the Alaska Marine Highway System. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Theo Greenlee with some local news on Monday, August 9th, 2021. Many organizations in Sandpoint have closed to in-person business after Eastern Aleutian tribes reported 7 new local COVID-19 infections at the end of last week. One more case today brings the total to 18 new cases reported in the Eastern Aleutian City since July 16th. Paul Mueller, the CEO of Eastern Aleutian Tribes, which operates the city's principal health clinic, spoke live on KSDP in Sandpoint on Thursday.
There was an event over the last week in Sandpoint, and from that gathering, essentially, that gathering, the cases have increased. And we're seeing them on a daily basis go up and up.
Mueller didn't specify the event, but officials at Iluulik Family and Health Services in Unalaska have connected it to Sandpoint's culture camp that took place just before the outbreak. This is the largest uptick in the Aleutians East Borough since last winter.
Across the region, they're scared because it's not just affecting Sandpoint, it's affecting all the other parts of the region as people travel.
Several people who attended Sandpoint's culture camp traveled from Sandpoint to Unalaska for the Kawalungan tribe's Camp Kungayuh last week. The coordinator for Camp Kungayuh, Anfisia Tudiakov, said they took many safety precautions to protect camp participants against COVID-19 infections, including having the children wear masks while riding the bus and testing anybody who may have been in contact with someone who was sick with the coronavirus.
As soon as we found out this had happened, we had certain people go up and get tested, and all those came back negative.
Dr. Megan Sarnicky, medical director for Unalaska's Iluulik Family and Health Services, reported that everyone who arrived in Unalaska from the camp in Sandpoint was tested for COVID-19 at least twice, and that all tests came back negative. Sarnicky said there have been no new cases of COVID-19 recorded in Unalaska over the past week, and that local numbers continue to decline. The U.S. Senate is inching toward passage of a $1 trillion infrastructure bill. It's a top priority of Senator Lisa Murkowski, who helped negotiate it. The bill includes billions for Alaska's roads, bridges, and ferries, plus funds for broadband and water projects in rural communities. The bill has enough Republican votes to pass, but it's not clear yet how Senator Dan Sullivan will vote. He hasn't announced his position. In a procedural vote Saturday, Sullivan voted against advancing the legislation. His spokesman said he favored more debate and opportunities to amend it. But late Sunday, in another procedural vote, Sullivan was among 18 Republicans who joined Democrats to support the bill. The Senate could pass the infrastructure package early Tuesday, sending it to the House. And there's language in that bill that could bring money to Alaska's beleaguered ferry system. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick checked in with the governor's chief of staff, Randy Ruaro, about this potential windfall and for a general update on the executive's plans for the Alaska Marine Highway System.
So Senator Lisa Murkowski is working on steering hundreds of millions of federal dollars to ferry systems. The language in the bill appears to heavily favor the Alaska Marine Highway System. Our question is, what's been the level of coordination from the governor's office with Alaska's delegation on this infrastructure bill?
We've been talking about language changes and other, statutory changes that would help the marine highway system for quite a few weeks now. And, I think there is a very significant amount coming to Alaska for its ferries just by the language in the bill. For example, real quick, If you look at Section 71103, it's ferry service for rural communities. And I think that's a funding for a five-year period. And that's going to, I think, going to produce a very significant amount of funding for Alaska's ferry system. We just don't know exactly how much will come out of that formula yet, but it will be substantial. And so we're already making plans on our end on how to best, you know, get the highest and best use of the funds, you know, for the system.
Okay, and Governor Dunleavy signed House Bill 63 last month, which creates an oversight board for the ferry system. Where are we on appointing members of that board from the executives for when it goes into effect, I think, in October?
We are taking applications now and hope to have, you know, people seated, you know, fairly soon. You know, if I'm aware of folks that that would be interested, I'll be forwarding those names in. But anyone with hopefully some of Marine experience can apply, and if someone's interested that's listening, they can contact Courtney Enright in our Anchorage office, and she'll get you an application.
Great. Could you give us an update on the Tustamina replacement? Because in order to harness the federal highway dollars, the money's got to be programmed into the state's formal request to the federal government.
I think the design is very close to being completed. For that boat, there's a section in the infrastructure bill that's caught our attention that may have some relevance to that project or not. It's Section 71102, which provides funds for an electric or low-emitting ferry program. And so that's a ferry that's built to use alternative fuels. And there's some funding that's tied to that new type of ferry, I guess, in this program. It may be possible to use some of the funds that are appropriated through this program for a low emissions ferry that could tie into the design of the Tustamina. I'm not 100% sure yet, but we're looking at it.
Okay, that's interesting, because I had thought that request had come more from the Skagway working group looking for kind of a short range ferry in Upper Lynn Canal. I didn't know that there was proven that electric ferries or even hybrids could do the kind of range out to Southwest Alaska.
Technically, I'm not sure if that type of a ferry would work for a long-range run, but I guess legally within the terms of the infrastructure bill, it looks like, you know, there's nothing that eliminates a long-range ferry from being eligible under the program. So we're still, you know, taking it apart, the language, and then we'll see technically, you know, whether anything fits.
Okay. And the Alaska class ferries, they've not seen much action, but we read that the crew quarters would be added to the Hubbard, which hasn't been in service yet, but that would extend its range and allow it to do a lot more routes. What's the state's plan for the other ferry built in Ketchikan, the Taslina?
You're correct. The crew quarters will give the Hubbard a lot of flexibility and will get it into service and moving. The Taslina, the other vessel, you know, we're looking at also building some capital projects like Cascade Point that would allow a run from Juneau up Lynn Canal and back and not necessarily need crew quarters for an overnight crew. So we're working with Gold Belt on Cascade Point, and then that ferry, that would be probably the best fit for that ferry.
How far along is that? Because my understanding with that conceptual project, that would only operate in the summer, in the warmer months.
It would be a seasonal terminal, and I'd have to check. I know that Gold Belt's working on the design and the lease offer and some other terms that aren't final yet, but we're hoping that can move along pretty fast.
Randy, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with Coast Alaska.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick talking ferries with Governor Dunleavy's Chief of Staff, Randy Ruaro. Before joining the governor's office, Ruaro was a legislative aide for Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman. And today is the International Day of the World's Indigenous Peoples. The United Nations General Assembly first pronounced the holiday in 1994 to bring attention to both the needs and contributions of indigenous peoples all across the globe. The Unalaska City Council meets tomorrow night in person at City Hall, online via Zoom, and by teleconference. At their regular session, councillors are expected to hear public testimony and to discuss a possible local sales tax increase from 3% to 4.5%. The City Council will meet tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. The community is encouraged to participate in the meeting. People can join in person at City Hall, via Zoom, or telephone in at one of the numbers provided on our community calendar at kucb.org. Comments and questions can also be emailed in advance to City Clerk Margie Veeder no later than 5 o'clock tomorrow evening to be read into the record at the meeting. Or you can also listen live here on 89.7 FM or Channel 8 TV. The Board of Education for the Unalaska City School District meets tonight in person and via teleconference. At their special session, members will finalize the district's COVID-19 mitigation plan for the upcoming school year. The school board meets tonight at 6 o'clock. You can find the access number on the school district's website at ucsd.net or listen live here on 89.7 FM. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Theo Greenlee, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.